Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, third hour here on Taking Tierney. What's happening? CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming to you from our lovely Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. We've got a very odd Twitter beef emerging here, and it looks to be quite entertaining.
I was having
a little fun with this during the break. DK Metcalf and Shannon Sharp.
Get out. You guys see this?
Let's see. I guess Shannon.
Very similar proportion.
Builds?
Players.
And Shannon's still absolutely yoked.
Jacked.
Let's see. I did not see this, nor did I. I did not hear anything. I'm on an Instagram. It's Bleacher Report, and I get they've got it all kind of condensed with the words in there. So, I guess DK on Shannon's hero ball criticism. I guess Shannon criticizes him for playing hero ball. And
what does he mean?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe just run and go routes. I have no idea. Maybe I don't know. I can't even. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that'd be speculation.
And then DK wrote on Twitter, "Stop questioning me, little boy." That's what he writes to Shannon. And then Shannon writes back, "Nothing to question. That was your dumbass play, and your pride won't let you admit it. You can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as complete as mine. Pray." And then DK fires back, "From the looks of it, I can wipe my bleep with yours." And he's got a little poop emoji, too.
Come on, man. What are we doing
talking
here?
About?
And then it says, "Continue to gossip, you washed-up wannabe." That's what Metcalf says about Shannon Sharp. Washed up. I mean, first of all, Shannon's got the body of a 25-year-old.
Yeah, right.
And the guy's a Hall of Famer with Super Bowl championships. Washed up wannabe. And he's good on TV. I like Shannon. I love Shannon with CBS. I like him with, I don't watch that show a ton.
Yeah.
But whenever I stumble on it, Shannon's always always entertaining.
Yeah.
Always bringing some energy.
Why beef?
I have no idea. I'll tell you why. Because Shannon was probably honest. I can guarantee you this.
Yeah, but why even respond back?
I guarantee Shannon did not take the low route in criticizing Metcalf. I would imagine that the first criticism was you know, fully from a football point of view. No this, no character assassinations.
But that's the nature
just
of
just seeing
show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just saying what he sees on film or what he watches games. And then DK Metcalf being, what, 23?
Mm-hmm.
You know, early 24 maybe?
Might be 24. Yeah,
whatever it is. You know, early to mid-20s. Still a young buck and still getting his, and we get it. A little different acceptance of criticism, the younger generation. And now the younger generation has an outlet to blast back on social media, and many of them choose to do it. I don't mind. I mean, if you don't like what somebody says, blast them back. That's fine. I'm Team Shannon, though, for the record. How about you?
I don't know, man.
Really?
What about a cage match, WWE-style cage match? You take it.
Well, I mean, Ric Flair fought until he was about 60-something.
No, I'm talking about an actual one.
In a real one?
An actual one.
I mean, DK is a monster. And listen, that's where the youth. I mean, I don't know if Shannon could fight. Mm. I mean, I know he's yoked. Doesn't mean he could fight.
And
I don't know if DK could fight.
He hasn't been an athlete in a while.
Yeah, he never stopped being an athlete,
true.
Though. But never, you know, it's different.
I honestly think prime Shannon is smaller than current Shannon.
Yes. But I would also say that
NFL Shannon.
But I would also say Shannon was never as big as Metcalf is right now.
That's what I mean.
And Shannon was big.
That's what I mean.
Oh, because you said prime Shannon.
Prime, like in his playing days.
But you said prime Shannon
smaller
than Shannon. You mean than DK?
Than DK.
Gotcha.
Yes,
no,
DK.
I would agree with that. DK is, he is a freak. Is he a great player, though? No. He's really good. Can't say he's great.
He could develop into one if he becomes a different type of route runner. Because I think what Shannon may be alluding to is
just go routes.
He's run a lot of go lines.
That's what I was thinking.
Go routes. It's like, where are the crossers? Where are the comebacks?
Where's the route tree?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Maybe that. I mean, but let's face it. If it's working, why change it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
How many touchdowns does he have on the season? Five already, I think.
I was gonna say five. I may have missed one. I don't think he has six.
No.
Coop has seven to lead the NFL.
Yeah.
Sounds about right with Metcalf having five. By the way, since we're talking about Metcalf, and we're going to get into this Ravens-Chargers game, which is very revealing, you know, it's worth, I don't know. I don't know why this stuff bothers me.
Five,
okay. Yep. Doesn't bother me enough to keep me up at night, but I don't like phoniness or corniness. I don't like phoniness. Nor do I gravitate toward corniness.
Okay, so.
And I don't think I'm alone. And there's just something about Russell Wilson, because we're talking about Metcalf in Seattle,
yeah,
that just comes across as a little inauthentic and corny.
For the show.
What is he doing on the field last night?
The mental reps. For those who missed it, he was out taking mental reps. And mental reps could be, you know, going through the motions of warming up and getting your body right. He's, like, on his knee. Like he's in a huddle.
What are you doing?
Calling a play.
Yeah.
Saying, ready, break, getting up, getting to the line of scrimmage, reading a non-existent defense. And
I can't get behind with that. I can't get down with that.
I get it. Visualization is such a great part of success. Yeah. But
do it at the practice facility where nobody's watching.
That's right. That's
right. You have to do it on a national TV night. The Steelers.
Yeah,
NBC.
It was corny.
It was totally corny. It was totally contrived. And by the way, I will never doubt how hard he works.
No, he's one of the greatest.
One of the greatest, and he is an all-in athlete. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great player, and I know he's a good guy. But there's just an inauthentic nature about him, and an undeniable corniness. There just is. He's corny, right?
But, look, if you're a winner, I think you can get away with corny if you're winning. And that's why you can do it.
I lost a home playoff game last year to the Rams.
True, but in general.
Nah, generally he's a champion. Speaking, I'm about to tell you, I get you.
First of all, he is a champion.
No doubt.
And then second of all, he's a baller. And on game day, you want that guy on your side.
I do. Stu Getz, corny or no?
Very corny.
Yes.
Santer, corny or no?
This specific instance or him in general?
In general, however you want to do it, whatever.
This
Mr.
Specific.
Unlimited. Yeah, he's corny as hell.
Even the nickname is corny, Mr. Unlimited.
Just the way he did it, like, it's one thing to give yourself a nickname, which is weird, but to do it in a video with that voice, it was just so cheesy.
It was weird. Yeah, okay, we're all in agreement. He's corny. But we're also in agreement. He's great, and he's indispensable. Yes. They need him.
Yes.
All right, Teague, so I'll tell you, of all the things that happened, and not just because I lost by 6 points in fantasy and Herbert's my quarterback, of all the things, if you said, make a prediction on every game, the thing that I would have expected to happen the most happened the least. I'm not saying I thought for sure Chargers would win. Ravens are a really good team, and Lamar's a beast, and they're well coached. But how the hell did the Chargers score 6 points?
First of all, the Ravens' defense is also very good. But I think when you make a team like the Chargers one-dimensional, it gets really hard to be successful, right? So they're still young. Justin Herbert is still young. We've talked about this. We had him on the show last week. Austin Eckler is such one of the keys to this team, and we're watching Lamar Jackson here offensively just take care of business. They ran the ball well. The Ravens did, and Lamar was accurate when he needed to be, even though he wasn't really accurate on the day and didn't have a huge numbers like he did a week ago, but they did what they needed to do. But the bigger story is the Ravens defense just absolutely shutting down the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Eckler, again, we had him on last weekend. He's been the reason that they've been able to do whatever they want offensively. And when you run the ball outside, you throw screens, he's dynamic.
Yep.
It gets almost impossible to defend that a team like that when your quarterback can drop dimes all over the field. You take away that one little component with a young team that doesn't really know how to, like, they don't, because of the quarterback, Justin Herbert doesn't know how to just get into a completely different mindset and play and win that way, you get run out of the building. And so you saw like a lot of inconsistencies on third downs. You saw like confusion, like what am I doing with the football? And that you rarely see that with him.
Yep.
And so you credit, you know, Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, for finding a way to confuse him, which is something we haven't seen much of in his first 2 years as a starter out in Los Angeles. So I think this is, to me, it's more about what Baltimore did and not something that I'm overly concerned about with Justin Herbert as a starting quarterback in this league.
I agree with you. Mike Williams was really compromised yesterday. They didn't know if he was going to play.
Yeah.
You know, like on Saturday, you still had to kind of check if waiver wire
then
fantasy.
Then you have injuries. Exactly.
Then you had some injuries. This will be an outlier. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but this is not going to suddenly lead into a conversation. Oh, boy, has the league figured out Justin Herbert? Oh, boy. The only thing I would bring up for conversation, you and I can flush through this, and we love aggression, but reckless aggression can be, at times, detrimental. Yeah. Is Staley too aggressive?
I think he... It's almost like he's playing with, I don't know, like with house money, in a sense. Because it is his first year, and the team is really good. Like, how often do you get a first-year head coach where everything is just kind of in place for you, right? You got a good defense. You have Joey Bosa, some... You know, some others in the secondary and you know, all levels of the defense. You got a really good running back. You got a potentially future great quarterback.
An amazing left tackle that they drafted.
That's right. And so, like,
Slater's incredible.
How often, I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, as a new head coach, and not one who was, oh, we've been grooming this guy for five years.
Yeah.
He's been the offensive coordinator for some elite, you know, head coach for 5 years, and he's just waiting for this role. Brandon Staley kind of came out of nowhere
in a lot of ways.
And so he steps into, like, an ideal – he doesn't have to suck for 3 years and figure out and change the culture. He steps into this ideal environment. And so he's not playing with house money, but it's almost like I can take risk because – I don't have to worry about building a good culture. It's already here, right? I don't have to worry about, you know...
Was there a good culture? They never knew how to win. Remember all those fourth quarter losses?
They had good players.
Yeah.
They had good players, for sure. They had good players. And so it's not like, I got to worry if my, you know, my edge rusher is going to be motivated today. I got to worry about if my quarterback's going to lose confidence if, you know, we don't do XYZ right. Like, they have a very veteran team. I got to worry about... And my wide receiver is going to be, you know, bitching and moaning for the football. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that freedom, it makes you feel like it makes you feel more, I don't know, emboldened. And I think that's what you're getting at. But I think it's just because of the nature of the team that he finds himself in his first year. So yeah, some of those were mistakes.
Without
a doubt.
Yeah.
But he's still a first-year head coach.
Yep.
Right, so...
Although, I'm just asking. I love Staley. Staley's good, and I like the Chargers. Still very bullish on him. Let's hear from the rookie coach. Tough loss to the Ravens. Here's Staley's take.
In a game like that, where it gets away from you a little bit, I think you can tell a lot about your quarterback. I thought he was strong with the ball. I thought he took care of it. I really liked the pass that he threw to Jared on the interception. I thought it was really good ball location. I thought he was strong, that the pockets were tight. There was a lot of pressure, and, you know, I thought he hung tough.
You know, his story is really amazing, too. You start to see a lot of people beginning to chronicle his path, you know, cancer, how prevalent cancer has been. He himself a survivor. His mom had cancer. Like, he's been through, he's battle tested.
Yeah, those things scare you a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Because they're too real. You don't,
yeah,
you
that's
almost,
what I mean.
No, trust me, I know. You watch it and you're like, I can't help. I saw one this weekend. I don't know if it was on Fox. I don't know where it was, but I saw it one of the morning shows. And, you know, you watch somebody talk about that and what he's wrestled with really for a long time with his mom and himself, as I said, you know, why would he be afraid to roll the dice on fourth and five from his own 40, fourth and three from his own 40? Yeah. It's a small little trivial thing at that point.
And you're down big. So it's like, what do I have to lose here?
He's got moxie.
Yeah.
I like Staley.
I would rather have that and know that, yes, this game has gotten away from us. I'm going to show my team that I still believe in them. Like, even though you all played like crap today, I still believe in you guys.
Yep.
Let's go do something, right? You're not going to win, but let's go do something special if you can. And, you know, it didn't work out. But
keep the messaging on point.
That's what they've done all season long.
Yeah.
Why change it just because you're getting, you know, your heads beat in by the Ravens?
Mm-hmm.
They're good, by the way.
Yeah, they are good, but that result was surprising. I expected a shootout. I'm thinking 34-31, some fun game.
Was this one of your losses?
It was one of my three. Yes. Sharp Tierney had a good week, 7-3. This was one of my losses.
Because of the over. All they had to do was score, what, another touchdown?
What was it, 34-6?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't. It was 50, they say 53 or 54. So they needed two scores.
Yeah,
I mean, they actually fell woefully behind, way short of that. You know, every once in a while, I want to play this for you as well. We heard from the head coach, but I think it's important for a young quarterback after a big win. We do this a lot on the show to try to, you know, get a sense of the vibe that they're emitting through whether it's tone, whether it's actual words, whatever. I want to play this from Justin Herbert because as good as he's been, he's still a second-year kid, just six games into his second year. He talked about the blowout loss. Let's try to gauge if he's too high or too low. Here's the Chargers' star young quarterback.
Coach said is the type of guy to take all responsibility, but it's on us. It's on us players out there, and we didn't execute. And the coaches gave us a shot, and you know we didn't do well enough. And that's the tough part about the game. And it's a long season. We have to come back from it, and we'll be back next week. Unfortunately, I have a bye, but plenty of film to watch, and another week to get better, to get your legs back. And so we got New England in 2 weeks.
Okay, take the thumb, put it at the chest.
Yeah,
I like it. Sounds like a young leader in the making. A lot of people who play with him, because again, we've had Eckler on the show a bunch. You know, he's very, very cerebral, borderline brilliant, and not like that bombastic, maybe not like a Baker type. Not saying Baker's not smart, but Baker's more outwardly,
outward,
know what I mean? You see it very visible, whereas Herbert's growing into the role. But I thought, you know, hey, you got blown out, big deal, it's one game. I thought he said the right things, and you move on, you see what happens. They're still a very good team, not worried about the Chargers.
Agreed.
All right.
Worried about the Dodgers?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. You should be a little worried about the Dodgers. Corey, you got to make that play. You got to make that play. Even if he does, there's no guarantee they win the game. Dodgers in a rough spot. Down 2-0 to the Braves. We said do not rule out the Braves. That is a team that remade itself after Acuna's injury. They have done the right things. They catch the ball. They've got belief despite the fewest wins of the regular season. And now they're two away from getting to the World Series. We'll talk about the Dodgers-Braves next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back to a little baseball in a moment. Want to remind you, Sunday, we just rev it back up. Get ready for another week around the NFL on CBS, a doubleheader. Got some good matchups as the Chiefs, who look better over the weekend, taking on Tennessee. Titans tonight, right? Titans-Bills tonight. Looking forward to seeing Josh Allen and Derrick Henry, two of the great stars of the NFL. Bengals-Ravens as well next weekend on CBS. Later on, the NFC battle as Justin Fields, rookie for Chicago, takes on Tom Brady and the Bucs. And it all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. All right. The randomness in baseball is just unlike anything else. There's just no other sport like it. I'm sure there's, you know, you want to talk about a hot goalie, you want to make some sort of correlation there. All right. We've seen inferior teams, quote unquote, you know, beat teams that were supposedly be vastly superior.
Yep.
Because some guy's standing on his head for 10 days in the pipes. All right, that happens. But, you know, baseball, like the Braves, here they are. Now, series is not over. Dodgers have firepower from every direction. We know that. But they're down 2-0. They've lost two tight games, which you could look at one of two ways. Well, they lost both games by a run, which should obviously make Dodger fans feel, yeah, all right, we'll get it going at some point. But I would submit, conversely, that the Braves and the Braves fans should feel good because they've won two tight games,
yeah.
Which usually kind of, I'd almost rather win a tight playoff game than 9-2. Because it puts you in a place of pressure that you can't replicate during the regular season.
Well, I think the interesting thing about these teams, despite the discrepancy in their regular season records, is that they're very similar, right? Both these teams are built on power. Like, just they're built to win with a swing. The Dodgers had 237 home runs, I think, in the regular season. The Braves had 239. And so you get into the postseason and you expect that to happen. Like, you expect runs to come that way. But as we all know,
good pitching yellow
is the reason that you're in the postseason and in the championship series. And so once you get good pitching, you're less likely to hit bombs, mm-hmm. you know, to supplement the scoring for your team. The difference so far has been that the Braves have been able to adjust in the critical moments that home run hitting tendency and hit with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers have not. They are 2 of 18, BT, of runners in scoring position.
That's a tough number.
Both of those are Chris Taylor hitting with runners in scoring position. So Trey Turner and
Jeff Turner. I mean, anybody.
None of them are hitting.
Bellinger.
When there are runners in scoring position.
Seager.
And because they're not hitting home runs, they're getting out small balled,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. And so can they rebound?
Yes, yeah, they can.
Of course
they can.
They can. Because they got a great, you know, pitcher on the mound tonight tonight.
Tomorrow. They are playing.
No, it's
one,
not tonight.
Two, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
But it's tomorrow, right? It should be tomorrow.
I think it's
tomorrow. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Yeah,
should
I don't
be
tomorrow. Either. But whatever it is, they have a great pitcher pitching and
they're back home.
And they're back home.
Yeah.
That's the bigger thing.
Yeah, but here we are. You know, the Braves, this is, again, the randomness of baseball. Not only did they win the fewest games, which doesn't always mean that it does. I mean, at this point, it basically means nothing.
Yeah.
But so you take, in theory, all right, literally by win total, but in theory, the weakest team remaining in the playoffs. And then you take their best player, who's Freddie Freeman, who's hitting .190 and has an OPS of .700.
That's right.
And they're still winning. They still won the divisional series. They're still up 2-0 on the defending champions. So, you know, the Braves have been a quiet, you know, they've been purring all season quietly beneath the surface. Like, you know, everybody talks about the Yankees, good, bad, or indifferent. The Rays are a cute story, and more of that, I don't say that in a derogatory way, but like the Rays are. The way they're positioned, you know, small budget, bad ballpark, so the Rays get a little Red Sox to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You know,
but
Chicago's
the Rays won
a big city.
Game for the first time ever, right?
First time ever they won 100 games, yep.
And then they get bounced. The one year they get bounced early.
I know. Talk about the Dodgers-Giants rivalry, 107 wins, 106 wins. You know, all the things that the Cardinals won 17 games in a row. Then they fired their skipper, who, by the way, is going to get hired. If the Padres don't reach out to Bruce Bochy, and I don't know that they will, then they have to hire Shield. Mm-hmm. At least see if he wants the job.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy did a great job in St. Louis. I mean, fundamental differences with the front office. What that means is you're not always doing what we tell you to do. And the other thing I heard was, and Shield's the kind of guy who's like, whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to always acquiesce. Shield's also the guy, I heard this today, that he's really a stickler for his coaching staff. He wants former players, and he wants that team to be dotted with guys who played.
Why? So they have they respect?
Not just the analytical, throw out the numbers. I mean, you know, you're going to have to marry both. You can't be all old school like, you know, Billy Martin or Weaver. But Schilt's a guy, and the Padres are counter that. So they might not even offer him the job. But the point is that the Braves all year kind of were beneath this surface of conversation. They're just a good franchise.
Yeah.
And they've done this without Acuna.
Yeah. No, you're right. They lose their best player. And
one of the best in the game.
That's right. And you want a young up-and-comers. It's almost the antithesis of what we talk about when we talk about one of the other great players, Mike Trout, who just never has had anything around him?
Nope, he goes to Eagles games in October. He was right there the other day.
That's right.
That's what he does.
But what the Braves have, what the Braves do is you get one of these great players and you kind of build some things around him so that when you get to this point in the season, it starts to pay off. Now, obviously, he's not there, but those guys are still playing. I think at the end of the day, I think why it matters that the Braves are moving are 2-0 right now in this championship series is because like team history tells them about these moments. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not talking specifically about the guys on this roster because maybe they haven't done this, but like there's an organization, and you're talking above the players, above the skip. It's like it's just an organizational history that's rich in Atlanta. And so despite whatever obstacles there are, it's almost like you know how to do it at this point in the year. And I think the Dodgers will rebound because they obviously have been in these situations as well. In fact, hell, they were down 0-2 last year. Ended up scoring, I think it was 11 runs in game three, whatever it was. They ended up dominating, coming back and winning that series a year ago. So this is familiar territory. But just because the Braves didn't have a stellar regular season doesn't mean that historically, franchise-wise, they don't know how to be in this spot. And that matters in a lot of ways.
100%. I want to see, can TV, I know we played it before, can TV, I don't think I've ever done this on the show. This bothered me, though. Like, as a pure baseball person, I know that this ball was ripped. Mm-hmm. Could you show the last play the other night when the ground ball that was not snagged? I don't know if they can slow it down. I know they can play it unless there's trademark issues or licensing. I know that was an issue with the NFL.
Yeah.
Can they roll it back twice? Can TV do that twice within a 2 or 3 minute time frame there? Because when it's 2-2 and you're playing for the right to get to the World Series, I know that this ball was blistered.
Yeah.
And trust me, having played first base, that thing gets on you in a hurry. And it's not turf. There's dirt involved, too, even though it's good dirt and there's no rocks. I mean, that gets on you fast.
And it just you never know the bounce is going to take.
Don't roll it. Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. So how you got to do a better job of trying to get in front of that a little bit.
Yeah.
I know you don't have a lot of time, but you're positioned in the right spot. You were right in the right spot. I'm not going to use the word casual because again, I don't know what the exit velo. I don't have it in front of me. That exit velo, if I had to guess, I'd say about 110 ish. 108. That would be my guess.
Yeah,
you got to do a better job than try to, you know, short hop pick it on the backhand side.
Do you think Jansen's glove hand? Because Kenley Jansen, who was the pitcher, obviously ended up being a losing pitcher, but no, he wasn't. It was actually
Jansen was out there.
No, he wasn't the losing pitcher. It went to Graterol, whoever it was before. It was his run. So
no, but he was out. He was on the mound. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I got
he wasn't the losing pitcher.
Yep.
Jansen's he reaches for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so
you think what obscure?
Just it just flashes. You know what I mean?
These like, guys are used to it, Teague.
I would agree. Used to it, but I don't. You're right. That wasn't routine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was routine.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying it was routine. So they have again. So let's see. So let's see if Jansen's glove. I'm not going to give any credence to that, but at least I want to see. Okay, they can't slow down. I get you. Go ahead, guys. We can go. All right. Here's the pitch. Right, man on second, two out. Obviously tied up at four. Bang, that thing's blistered.
It's past his glove.
Past his glove, and I'm not saying I would want to be on the other end of that ball. That ball, and again, I'm getting that may have been more than 108 miles per hour. That may have been mid-one teens,
but
actually.
He almost could have grabbed it. You know what I mean? It was almost like he was trying to short hop it.
He was trying to short hop it on the backhand. I need a little more now with the man on second base.
My point
game.
Is, he might have been able to grab it out of the air. You know what I mean? So, like, get down on it as opposed to short-hopping it.
Almost like knock it down and then pick it up with your bare hand.
Just smash it down. Smash it down as opposed. And look, I never did this. I didn't play baseball at a high level.
It's a hard play. It was an in-between hop, too. Everything about it was hard.
Yeah.
Got on him quick, in-between hop, and, you know, he's in a position where he's not really playing that much. Like, it was a little bit of an awkward spot on the diamond for him. But I don't know. If that's the Yankees and that was either Torres or LeMahieu at second, I'd say you got to knock that. You got to keep that thing in the infield.
Yeah.
You got to keep it in the infield. Some people might disagree, bud. Ack, what's going on, bud? How are you today, Ack?
I am doing just great.
Yourself? Baseball's been great, huh?
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, I still go back to that Giants-Dodgers series, though. Man, it's tough to get past that, you know?
Well, get past it because the Braves are putting on a pretty good show.
They are.
Stop whining about that. Nobody cares
I'm
anymore.
I'm not whining. I just I loved every second of it.
You know? I know. I missed it, too. But, you know, it's crazy because here we are. I said to Teague, I don't know if you heard this. Got an 88-win team. By the way, 88 wins in the worst division.
Yep.
The NL East was horrendous. And so you win 88 games, and Freeman, who, along with Austin Riley, by the way, who has morphed into a star, he's doing nothing. He's hitting a .180 or a .190 in the postseason. Braves are 2 wins away from the World Series. Yeah. That's baseball, Susan.
It's all about getting hot at the right time.
That is right. That is right.
So
you think that ball, he's going to probably disagree. You think that ball's got to be kept in the infield there? It doesn't matter what you say, because I know where I'm. No one's going to convince me otherwise. That ball's got to stay. It can't go that deep into the outfield. Even if it, even if you knock it down at a ricochet 7 feet or 8 feet, you have a chance to keep the runner at third. I was disappointed in that. Do you agree with that?
I agree with you.
Okay. And it was blistered. I'm going to check the exit velo during the commercial. I am curious on that. Axe update. We'll come back, hit you with the blast, wrap up a great Monday, give you a thought on the Bills and the Titans tonight. Here's Ack coming at you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, TK and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, wrapping up a Monday show. We're going to get to the blast in a moment, tell you what's coming up tomorrow as well. First, though, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Justin of Rhode Island. Rhode Island in the house. Stand up, Rhode Island. URI. Rhode Island. All right. Joe Burrow, baller for the Bengals. Where would you rank him right now among NFL quarterbacks? Joe Burrow, TK, throw a number-ish. 11-ish? 10? 12?
I'd put him outside the top 10, but not by much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah, sounds about right at first glance. You know what? I might actually bust out some names in a second. Yeah. I want to actually give it more of a definitive feel numbers-wise. That's my first instinct, but we'll crunch it in a second. There you go. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just a heads up, we'll give you a preview and a prediction on the Bills and the Titans tonight. Buffalo minus 6, Monday Night Football. This week number 6 comes to a wrap. And tomorrow, the NBA season begins. The Nets minus Kyrie at the world champion Bucks. And then you've got the Warriors at the Lakers. No Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. Klay's still about a month or so from going full bore in practice, but 2 games tomorrow. And then it's go time. I know my Knicks kick it off Wednesday at the Garden against the revamped Celtics, so I'm excited for basketball season. Gary Payton will join us. The glove. I got nothing but glove for you. Do your thing. Gary's going to join us tomorrow right here on Tiki and Tierney. Do you have the quarterback's names up there? What do you got?
I actually might put him just inside 10.
I was going to say a little higher, yeah, right? Go ahead.
Just off the top of my head. So this is guys I'd put in front of him.
Well,
right
as
now.
You rip off a name, give me a chance to say yes or okay, no as
so,
well.
So Dak.
Dak's higher.
Yep. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is higher.
A-Ron.
A-Ron.
Brady.
Brady's higher.
Kyler.
Kyler's
higher. Murray.
Yeah, I know he's playing better. I think Burrow could be better.
Than Kyler Murray?
Right now, I'm going to put Kyler, but I think Burrow could be better. Let's say Kyler, yep. Kyler's playing well.
And so then it's I go over to the AFC. I'll come back to an NFC team.
Okay.
Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. Josh, yep.
Lamar.
Playing tonight. Lamar, 6, yep.
Herbert.
Mm-hmm. 7.
Patty Mahomes.
8.
And then I go back to the NFC.
Russell Wilson.
And this is where Russell Wilson and
Stafford.
And Stafford.
Okay.
So, but my mind, I'm saying, is he besting Stafford yet? Maybe. Probably not. So
not yet.
He's like 10.5.
Yeah, that's right.
My initial thought was right.
Yep, in agreement. Where would you guys put him? Does that sound about right? Are we missing anybody? Are we being fair to the young buck for the Bengals, Joe Burrow?
Yeah, it fair? Sounds about right, yeah.
What about Derek Carr? Right now, Derek Carr or Herbert, who's better? Carr or Burrow?
Statistically, it's probably Carr, but I think it's likely closer than that.
And I think Burrow's got a little bit of a higher ceiling,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah. Stat-wise, statistically, you could give it to Carr.
Oh, yeah.
And he's won some games. But I think Burrow, like when I think about, man, what can he be?
Mm-hmm.
It's higher.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, blast time. You ready, T?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go, Stugatz.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes. But don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, T. So the Texans' miserable season continues. They lost their 5th straight game, losing to the Colts 31-3. Following the game, wideout Brandon Cooks, who's one of the few good players, he's having a pretty decent season, as he usually does, had some harsh words for his team.
We're an undisciplined team. I'll be very honest with you. From all of us. We all got some type of accountability in that. We're undisciplined. It's just the truth. Success is not a gimmick. Discipline is not a gimmick. It's about everyday life choice. And it's about deep down inside, individually, do you want to be that or not? As simple as that. We can't make our teammates, we can't make anyone else do that. You got to do it by yourself.
I mean, I don't know, man. We always wonder why Cooks has been on so many different teams, mm-hmm. despite the production. I mean, that's a terrific sign of leadership right there. I just don't know why he bounces around. He's good.
I agreed.
Who do we think is more to or most to blame for the Texans' issues right now, whatever those issues might be?
Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien, people who aren't actually contributing on a Sunday afternoon. Easterby, maybe. Give it to him. He's dismantled this thing and trying to pull it back with David Culley, who I like. I just don't know if he's going to be the guy. Who's most to blame? I mean, everybody. It's a hard one.
It's a tough one.
Specifically, you put it on the coach, but that's, I mean.
It's not Culley's fault.
I agree.
There's not a
it's
lot
not
there.
His fault. I 100% agree.
I can't put it on his doorstep. I'm not saying you are. You're dispersing the blame around, which is probably the right move there. Awful tone the entire offseason with the whole dark cloud of Deshaun Watson. What's going to happen? You know, you traded Hopkins. I mean, you got nothing. You didn't really get much for him. I don't know. They're just top to bottom systematically a mess.
You think
really,
Bill O'Brien went to DeAndre Hopkins and was like, man, this thing's about to implode. Let me get you out of here.
No, the report was they didn't have a good relationship. I know you're saying that facetiously, but I don't think he did that, though.
Yeah. Well, kind of like the Eagles.
What do you mean? With Wentz?
DeAndre Hopkins gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals. The Eagles, Zach Ertz, kind of hates it what's going on there. Gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah,
they've been without a tight end. Now they got Zach Ertz.
Yeah. The difference, though, the Eagles are rebuilding. At that point, when the Texans got rid of Hopkins, they were the best team in the division.
Yeah, I know. I know. But still,
I hear you.
Zach Ertz is in a good spot.
Yes,
right now.
He is. Tiki's Giants. Woof, Teak. I already bagged on them last hour, so I'm just going to read. I'm not going to editorialize. Tiki's Giants fell, I might have. They fell to 1-5. They got blown out by the Rams 38-11. It was actually worse than that. MetLife leading the fans to boo the team. And defensive lineman Leonard Williams wasn't thrilled. Oh, boy. Thrilled by the fans' behavior.
They do bother me, honestly. You know, I,
obviously, we're in our own home stadium. I don't want to be hearing boos from our own fans. I understand that they have a right to, you know, be upset as well, because they're coming to see us put, you know, good football on the field. And, you know, we haven't been winning up to date. And but at the same time, I don't know. I don't like that. I mean, I don't think anyone deserves to be put down, no matter who you are. You know, I'm not going to go up to a salesman and tell him that he's not a good person, or boo this person he's not doing
his
job.
Stop this drivel. I don't even want to hear the end of that dopey cut. That is just pure drivel. Give me a break. You're not going to go to a salesman because you didn't pay the salesman anything to watch the salesman make cold calls. What the hell is that? And by the way, Leonard Williams should be used to it, because he got booed in the same building when he was with the Jets, because they stunk there too. Oh my God, is that guy kidding? He's a good dude, but is he kidding me with that? Do we prefer players respond like Williams did? You already know my answer. Or would you rather hear players defend the fans with, you know, things like, yeah, we deserve to get booed? The latter. I mean, listen, if it's crass, if it's over the top, if you're throwing objects, if there's anything that racially charged, I mean, that's all completely out of bounds. When your team is 9-26 over their last 35 games in their home stadium, I mean, the next step is to not even waste their time showing up. Giants don't even, the Jets are a different coach. Yeah. A little different because first year. The Giants don't even deserve 80,000 people showing up to watch them get their asses kicked.
Yeah, it's bad. Leonard Williams and that defensive front four, that's really about the only good thing about this team right now. They got after Stafford a little bit early. Got him down on the ground a couple times, and they couldn't do anything about it. You're going to get booed in Giant Stadium if you stink. Right now, they stink. Get used to it.
What is he saying?
I don't care what he likes or what he doesn't prefer. Doesn't, just get used to it,
that's
man.
Right. He is used to it from the Jets. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, I got booed. I got booed in Giant Stadium.
Who would boo you?
When I was going through my fumbling issue.
I know. Trust me. I remember talking about it locally.
It was rough, man.
Get this barber guy out of here, we were saying.
Right. But then
and then
I got
Tiki came back and became one of the best players in the NFL.
Let it motivate you.
Yeah. Number three here. The Suns inked one of their core young pieces to a new deal, but it wasn't DeAndre Ayton. We talked about that a week ago. They signed Mikal Bridges, got 4 years, $90 million off the rookie extension. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists a game. How do we feel about this contract that Bridges got?
I mean, it's right. I mean, we always talk about this team. They got the big guy, big man, and DeAndre Ayton, who they have now broken off contract talks with, which is a little bit...
A little disconcerting, maybe?
Yeah, a little...
That relationship, I don't know.
That doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction.
No, but there's still... Go ahead, sorry.
But we talk about this team. They have the guards. They have the big man. They have the 3-and-D guys. Mikal Bridges is one of those 3-and-D guys.
Yes, he is.
His contract is not massive. I mean, it's big, but it's not, you know, extraordinarily big. So nope. I think it works. He's a really good two-way player for them, and it makes sense to me.
I like it. I've always liked him. Going back to college, $22.5 million a year for a kid who shoots, 45, 46, 47% from downtown. He's long.
D.
Yep. Now, if he ever winds up, and there were a couple of flashes in the playoffs where a couple times he got to the rim. If that is something, then he should be putting time in on that during the summer laboratory. I don't need, he doesn't have to be a slasher like, I don't know, a young Tracy McGrady or Penny Hardaway, but if he could just get a little bit more of that element, then that contract becomes a bargain. He's a good player. Yeah. He's a winning player, too.
Yeah. 47.5%, dude.
So what did I say? 46? It was 47.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's... Oof. All right. Major League Baseball announced it will now require teams, this is interesting, to provide housing for minor league players starting next year. This comes after players have increasingly been outspoken about their poor working conditions and pay. So what do we make a Major League's decision to finally start taking care of minor leaguers? Well, first of all, this is long overdue. So when I graduated college, I was there for a week. I signed, I made it, and then I got cut because I just wasn't good enough and I was hurt. But when I signed an independent contract out of school, right, up in New Haven, it's a defunct league now. Nashua Hawks was the name of the team. They actually had housing for us.
Interesting.
And it was not even affiliated with any Major League team. I mean, it was the lowest level of the minors, which I wasn't even good enough to stick around that. But the point is, they gave us housing. I mean, I think we were also getting like $200 a week. But I think this is really, really smart.
Yeah, instead of staying with like some family or...
Like having 7 guys together shacking up in a flea bag, you know, roach-ridden room. I mean, you've got to prepare them for... big league life. It's a nice step in the right direction.
They're also professionals, so treat them like professionals.
There you go. That's a more succinct way of putting it, yes. All right, Tegan, NCAA Task Force has recommended that incoming freshmen in Division I and II sports should not have to meet minimum standardized test scores to gain instant eligibility in hopes of further advancing racial equity across the collegiate landscape. So what impact do we think this move will have that the NCAA is talking about
This is an interesting one, because standardized testing is slowly going to the wayside. We've seen this. Some schools don't even require you to take the ACT anymore because it's just like you got to train to take those tests.
Yes.
And the biggest issue is...
Or just be inherently brilliant.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you know.
But the biggest issue is not necessarily, his school doesn't teach this, you know, teach them the correct way to prepare for this test. Actually, to pass some of these things, especially now, you got to get trained mm-hmm. how to pass these things. Yeah. And those things aren't inexpensive.
No.
Right? You got ACT and SAT, you know, training courses.
Oh, yeah.
That if you're on the wrong side of the socioeconomic, you know, ledger,
yep,
you just can't afford it.
That's true.
And so it's not even about being able to afford school. It's about being able to afford the test that gets you into the school. Mm-hmm. So I think this is actually a prudent, suggestion by the NCAA.
Yep. I don't know if I want to get away entirely from standardized testing, but the broader body of work is far more important.
100%.
Number one. And to your point, and you know I didn't grow up, I certainly did not grow up wealthy. Didn't grow up destitute, mm-hmm. but far from wealthy. I went to Kaplan courses. I started going as a sophomore. Yeah. Of course, like everything with school, I went kicking and screaming, barely paid attention. But I went. I would go after practice, and I went as a sophomore. You're taking PSATs, mm-hmm. and because of the Northeast, you take the SAT, not the ACT. And there was a level of preparation that helped me. I'm not I got a 1600, but I did fine. I mean, and because I had access to that, did it bump me up 100 points? It might have, yeah.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Call the upset tonight. I got the Titans on the money line.
Ooh.
I got the Titans on the old ML.
You're out of your mind.
I'm going to say the Titans win, maybe even close to the gun. Good game, fun game. Have a great night. We'll catch you tomorrow. Enjoy your Monday. Safe, sensible, and sane. Titans money line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.